You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adore Udoji.
I'm Catherine Lanfer, in for John Hockenberry. A reminder that we are asking you this morning for your presidential campaign playlists. We know that Barack Obama and John McCain both had to come up with their top 10 lists of hits. What are yours? What would you play on the presidential campaign? What's the song that sums up Obama, the tune that defines McCain? Let us know at 877-8-MY-TAKE or go to mytake@thetakeaway.org. But go ahead. You know, what we really want you to do is call in to 877-8-MY-TAKE and croon a song or two. Meanwhile, does the Declaration of Independence include our right to the pursuit of French fries? Coast to coast, there is a crackdown on indulgence. We have mandatory calorie count postings in some restaurants in New York City. In Los Angeles, a ban on fast food joints in a particular neighborhood. But can you really govern the way someone eats? Well, to talk more about that, we're going to turn to Kim Severson of the New York Times. She joins us here in the studio. Good to see you here.
Good morning.
So what's going on in L.A.?
Well, the problem in L.A. is there's a lot of fast food restaurants and not a lot of grocery stores in a particular part of South Los Angeles. So the city council decided they would put a moratorium on new fast food restaurants for about a year, although it probably will extend a bit. And the idea is to try to assemble some parcels of land and entice some grocery stores to come in so that people have different kinds of food choices. Right now, about 45% of the restaurants, of about 900 restaurants in that area in South Central Los Angeles, are what we consider typical chain fast food drive-through restaurants. So say you live there, you know, you've got 7 minutes between going to your two jobs, you don't have a lot of money, you know, the dollar value menu is quite attractive. So the idea is to reduce obesity and all of the associated diseases that come with it to give people healthier food choices by banning fast food, essentially, for a year.
Okay, and tell us a little bit more about this neighborhood. Is it particularly...
Well, the South LA, the sort of broader definition of it, it's about 32 square miles. There's 500,000 people there. It's a very largely poor section. Sections of it are largely African American. There's some pockets of Mexican and Central South Americans, immigrants who are coming into it. And it is a place in which, you know, if somebody's going to open a drive-through in a neighborhood there, the community council is not necessarily going to get up in arms like it might say in, you know, Montclair, New Jersey. So it's, you know, people have different priorities there, different things that they've got to take care of. So basically, this is a planning decision in a lot of ways. It's an urban planning method. You know, certainly we all do things like decide, well, we want a liquor store in this neighborhood. This strip club is too close to the schools. We make value judgments on what should be built in our neighborhoods all the time. This is the first time, as far as my research has shown, that they've done it in relation to calories, obesity, food.
That's what I was going to say. I mean, this is really an experiment that many people across the country, both public policy advocates as well as, you know, health advocates and politicians, are going to be taking a look at to see how it works. Has there been challenges to it in terms of the legality of it, or was the restaurant associations, were they involved in the planning on how LA adopted this rule?
Well, obviously the restaurant association doesn't like this sort of thing, and I don't know if you'll recall in 2003, I think, when people were suing McDonald's for making them fat. And actually, there have been some state laws that have been enacted since that prevent obese people from suing the people who have prepared the food for them. The Restaurant Association obviously doesn't like this kind of thing. The idea is, fast food doesn't kill people. People kill people, or whatever the version of that would be. So they, I think they did get involved in writing some of the real specific language around what defines a fast food restaurant in these cases. The Restaurant Association, I think, sees the writing on the wall when it comes to the obesity crisis. Surgeon General in 2001 declared obesity an epidemic. Since then, public health officials have thrown everything they can at the problem. They've tried all sorts of things. We've seen a lot of it here in New York City.
I was just going to say, the posting of the calorie counts at restaurants that have a certain number of units here in the city. I mean, what a huge change.
That's having an effect. I personally have made some different choices when I've seen those calorie
counts. I think it totally works. I mean, when you see a donut 1,000 calories or a muffin 400 calories, it makes you think twice about what you're going to eat.
Certainly makes you appreciate the small order of fries in a new way, I think. You know, and that's that calorie count is a very interesting thing. It's happening. Portland, Multnomah counties passed one. Other counties and cities in California have passed it. The Restaurant Association really doesn't think that posting mandatory calorie posting is a good idea. They've come up with some alternatives, and they're actually considering proposing a national standard for nutrition information that's sort of like on the packages of your food. And I talk in my story today in the Times about you know, this idea that if the nutrition information is on tray liners or brochures, National Restaurant Association thinks that would be a fine alternative.
Yeah, I want to interject before we wrap up here. Even if you ban an increase in the number of fast food restaurants, and even if you cajole a grocery, for instance, into that particular neighborhood in L.A., who's to say that someone's going to be able to afford the fruits, vegetables, and lean protein that they're supposed to eat as compared to that dollar meal you were talking about?
Well, it's an interesting subject. And, you know, we all look at the things we spend money on. You know, this is a value judgment, but, you know, maybe you spend $4 on a cup of warm milk with some espresso in it, and you're just, you know, you think that extra money with
off.
The, I know, see, that extra money on organic tomatoes is too much. So, you know, I think it's tough to decide what people are going to spend their money on, but, you know, it's a tough call.
Hey, Kim, we're going to ask you to stick around because a little later we're going to go to your other area of expertise, and that would be softball.
Ah, the game of summer.
Okay, Kim Severson of the New York Times.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.